This is the Impact Program on 3RRT.
You're listening to the Impact Program.
98.7, 98.3.
3RRT.
98.7 FM.
3RRT.
This is the Impact Program, 98.3 and 98.7 FM.
This is the Impact Program, 3RRT.
What is that?
3RRT. You're listening to the Impact Program on 3RRT, 98.7 and 98.3.
You're listening to the Impact Program on 3RRT.
你现在正在收听的是 Impact 节目。You're listening to the Impact Program.
Another night, another beautiful show of the Impact Program. Was that the wrong way around? Another beautiful night, another show of the Impact Program.
It's not that beautiful, surely.
Well, I don't know. I probably can't pull the argument of saying because I'm here it's beautiful.
No, you can't.
Nah.
No.
I was trying, and then I realised I'm sitting opposite two women here, so it doesn't work, right? So
two women in trackies, but that's right.
Hi, yeah. No, I'm wearing a skirt.
All right. Now, tonight, obviously, you've found out now, Chloe's in the studio, and so is Emily. This is Emily's first time.
Thank you, be kind.
And she's not nervous at all.
I think you need to be kind, no. By the sounds of it. Off air, gee. Alrighty, and obviously, it is me, Reese, if you didn't figure that out already. Now, you can get us on 98.7 or 98.3 on your radio dial. That is FM, so don't get that wrong. Otherwise, hopefully, live streaming is back up and in order. It wasn't last week, on 3rpp.com.au. That's where you can go to hear us. If it's not up on order, then feel free just to go to the website anyway, have a look around, find out what else is on the station, and you might find that there's a lot of other programs that are worth listening to during the day. Now, what are we going to be doing tonight, girls? I can't say guys. Normally I say guys. Girls?
You can call us guys. Tonight?
I don't know.
Hi, guys.
We will be talking about, Emily will be giving her testimony.
Will I?
Oh, yep.
Might have prepared something for that.
And please don't charge us for that.
Charge you? Oh, I won't. This is a free service that I offer.
Well, you had to drag you kicking and screaming, but
it's
hey.
True. I should be in bed. I'm so tired.
And then Emily will be talking about, we'll be asking Emily a few questions. Well, no, Emily will be telling us about her program.
You can ask me
tongue,
questions.
Work like, properly.
We don't know what this show's going to be like. Right. We don't know what.
So far, it's all about me.
We're going to be talking about a program Emily's running called Making Tracks, which you do at school.
That's right. It's Christian schools.
Christian schools. So we're going to be learning a little bit about that, and it'll be quite insightful, I would
say,
is the word to use. Also, our second topic for tonight is faith, trust, and belief. And we're going to endeavour to define the three. I might chuck in another word just for the sake of it later on. And also, you know, talk about what they are and how we can apply them to our life, whether it be Christian or non-Christian. Now, there's a few other things going on in the background, which you might hear every now and then. There will be this loud clinging, clunking noise.
Can I demonstrate?
Yeah, demonstrate.
Whew, that's actually pretty loud.
Is it?
That's
is
good.
It too loud?
That's the, what have we decided?
Tin. Have you heard of the swear
tin?
Jar? Do you remember the swear jar as a kid? I don't, I heard about it.
We thought about the butting in tin.
The butting in tin, but then we thought it might turn into the butt in.
But in tin.
Okay, so we'll see how the show goes. But nonetheless, it could be the jar. We're going to be throwing coins.
How about we just chuck it in when we feel like we should?
We're going to throw coins into the jar. If we just get lost on things to talk about, if those three, trust, faith, and belief is not enough, we'll just throw in coins
as well. We'll entertain you with some tinny music.
Yeah, so it adds another element to the evening, which we hope you enjoy wholeheartedly.
Gee, we can talk about really random unimportant things sometimes, can't we?
Yes, but let's not.
Hey, speaking of random unimportant things.
Making tracks. No.
No, no, we'll come to that in a minute. This is at the start of the show, this is what we call like a teaser, where you say, this is what we're going to talk about. Stay tuned. And people go, ooh, and they stay tuned.
Mm.
I hope we've done that tonight.
Yeah.
But before that.
Well, we are. Like, we have got a teaser. We're talking about belief, trust and faith. We will be living that out in the studio.
Yes. Oh, Chloe's going to do a demonstration assisted by Emily. That's the name.
Oh, well. Emily, did you forget my name?
Not really. Sort of. Had a bit of a blank just then. And I've got it written down on a piece of paper in front of me.
Oh, just in case.
And I've known you for like 7 years.
Yeah. Oh. 7? 10, maybe.
I don't know.
Anyway, yes, Chloe is going to do. She's going to have to get off her seat, take off her headphones, and actually get up and do something that's going to test her faith, her belief, her trust in me. Is that scary or what?
That's scary.
Because
yeah, that's scary. She's speechless at so.
Dead air. Can we tin? Dead air.
You could turn that out to be really bad, this experience.
She could be in hospital
by
the end of the night.
If you hear moaning and stuff in the background, that's Chloe in a really sore head.
Yeah.
So
This is scary stuff, guys.
But
you
stay
have
tuned.
So much. To stay tuned.
You have to wait and see
now,
how.
Before we go to a break and then come back in talking about all these things,
exciting.
Chloe and I, like, we stopped off at my dad's place on the way because I had to pick up my guitar that I left there because I'm such an awesome musician. So, on TV, when we were there.
Dead air.
that was a tin moment. That was, too late. You're a bit slow.
I'm a bit slow.
Yeah.
I'll get better.
You've got to pick it up a bit.
I've got it now.
We saw this show on 60 Minutes where they were showing, now Chloe's going to just go off her nut in a minute, these like 5-year-old kids on beauty, doing beauty pageant things. So much so they were like,
bikinis?
I reckon, yeah, full on, like sexualizing them. And we were just thinking, like, that's a pedophile's heyday right there. And we were just disgusted. Go on, Chloe, just go off your rocker. You've probably done it all already.
It's probably good to exercise self-control at this point. No, look, what can
didn't
I say?
Last long, just
I
go think for it's, it.
I think, shall I do another dead air tin?
No, I think it speaks for itself. Like, to see that, because we don't really have that here in Australia as much that we know of, and to see that, it was pretty, to see what they just...
Dead air.
To see what they did was disturbing.
I was saying to Reese in the car, I said... You know, this one of the mums says, if you look at one of the children in a swimsuit and think about sex, then there's something wrong. You know, that's your fault.
There's something wrong with you.
Yes.
Not her.
Yes, there is. You know, because you shouldn't do that, like, obviously. But when, you know, these kids weren't just in bathing suits at the beach. They're in bathing suits as well as doing sexualized, provocative dancing to music that was older sexualized words.
Mm.
As with if the makeup kids, that look like they're 20.
As if the kids would even have a concept of what they were doing.
But on that, just to go against that argument completely, because it's not rational. If
what, my argument, are you saying?
No, the one the lady brought up about, you know, well, that's, you know, their problem. That's not our problem. That's the same argument if guys, we all know, struggle with their eyes, lust of the eyes. And so if a girl walks down the street naked, and says, well, the fact that they're lusting, that's not my problem. That's their problem. They just need to learn to control themselves. Not really, because you're walking down the street naked. You know what I mean? So in that situation with your kids, well, a little parental concern is to actually keep your kids covered, keep them away from a situation where you might be causing that to happen. Because I know I've got a little daughter, and I would hate to even bear to know some guy was lusting after her in any way, shape or form. I would be murderous, I reckon.
It's growing up, knowing too much too soon. Like, growing up in that environment, doing things, well, you know, you'd hope not to ever do that, but doing that too soon, they're getting too much knowledge, which, you know, what are they going to be like when they're 10 and 12? Like,
The other thing we saw, this is really weird because Emily's not able to get a word in.
It's strange, isn't it? I haven't been silent for so long, my whole life.
Your mum's probably home going, wow.
Yeah, why didn't I ever get this? Stick on a radio, that's what you have to do.
The other thing was about these girls were coming on saying, oh, I think it was such a great thing because now I'm so confident, you know, and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, well, no, I think what's happened is they feel the world revolves around them,
mm-hmm.
and they can get anything they want. Everything is theirs for the taking. You know, she's like, I feel I can do anything I want, you know, in life, and it'll be great. It's like, well, if you want to do something, sweet, go for it. Pursue dreams and stuff. But they instill a false confidence. And then one day that confidence will be shattered unless they've always got these cushioning boundaries of people who make them into that thing that they are becoming.
So it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's just not a great environment.
Something I thought we should mention. We were pretty...
Dead air. There was a bit of dead air. I got it.
I think watching it was a bit of an eye-opener because we don't really see that here.
Your face was funny. You're sitting there, mouth open, hands over mouth. That sort of look, eyes wide.
Well, it doesn't work on radio.
No. Imagine my mouth is open, but I'm talking.
Don't think that it's like, well, I can't believe they can't do that. Like, they're doing that. Like, I'm so naive. It's like, whoa, I'm seeing that, and I'm shocked because I know what the outcomes are going to be like. Being someone young that knew things too soon and did things too soon, I'm like, you know, I can see how they're heading, and it's scary.
Well, it's over-sexualizing everything. I mean, you know, it's everywhere. There's stuff everywhere. You don't even have to, you know, walk into a shopping center and the billboards are everywhere, TV, it's everywhere. So, I mean, you know, and then they wonder why teen pregnancies are getting higher, and they wonder why, you know, kids are choosing to have sexual relationships at, you know, age 10. I mean, you know, this is the way that things are going. And yes, Reese.
That was the signal.
It was nearly dead air.
That's true, and it actually sort of brings us towards what you.
Oh, I didn't do that on purpose.
That was an amazing segue. I got to say, and we're going to come into that. Why don't you give us a real brief, second teaser as what is Making Tracks about? Basic, like a one liner type thing.
One liner. See, you're putting pressure on me.
It's a bit interesting.
I'm going to hang on, dead air quick. I don't know.
You're going to run out of money.
What was the question?
One liner.
Making Tracks. It's a peer education program which deals with addictions and sexual health to Christian schools across Victoria and Australia wide, one day, maybe, possibly. And that's it.
Well, I think you did.
Oh, there was clapping in that. Did you?
You did a good job making that more than one line.
I needed warning.
Well, we're going to come in and hopefully she does a better job at explaining what this Making Track is all about.
I'll write some notes.
This is Keith Green. What is this song, Chloe?
I think it's Better Me a Clean Heart.
Chloe's the one who knows almost every single.
If it's not, we'll put some coins in the jar.
The Impact Program with Chloe and Emily and I, myself, and
Reese.
Me.
That would be Reese.
What an awesome, upbeat intro. And this is The Impact Program. How's that?
Yeah.
Better?
Woo!
Now,
we're excited
chuck a coin in that.
Oh, really? Was there a bit of silence? Was there?
No, but it might liven things up.
Oh, okay. Woo! Yeah.
Now, that song was Keith Green.
Created Me a Clean Heart.
She was right. There was no coin.
Except for that one.
Oh, except for that one. Tip it out.
All right. Now, we're going to go into a little bit about Making Tracks, but before we go into what Making Tracks is actually about, it would be good, like, we obviously were your friends, so we know you and we know your testimony, but I reckon it'd be good to run your testimony down. No.
Run down. Get the
lowdown.
To give
us a bit of a rundown on yourself, on how you got saved, what brought you to salvation, a little bit of history, because...
Not from your birth, though.
Yeah, I was born on this day. But I think that's a good leading into Making Tracks, because it is your history that caused you to want to do Making Tracks.
Yeah, so. That's right. Okay, look, I can do that. Do I have to put a coin in? I said,
No, you don't have to,
I don't have to?
I'll let you get out of that because, you know, you're nervous now, you're on the spot.
I am. My hands are shaking. I tried to write before, and it's kind of like spider writing.
It's when the spotlight goes on yourself.
But no one can see me, so it should be fine.
People know you who are listening.
Yeah, it's true. So I didn't have a whole lot of... I'll just go. I didn't have a whole lot of... Christian upbringing until about the age of 13, when my mum, who did have a bit of Christian background up until that point, but she, at 13 was when she went to a church. She went along to a church at the time, and that was where I sort of got my first taste of church life and Christianity, if you like. Well, it was Christianity. It was the church. So so I was at 13, and I really liked going along to church. It was fun. There were a whole bunch of young people around my age, Reese being one of them.
And? Oh, no, she came later.
Yes, no, Chloe wasn't. If Chloe was there, I would have introduced her as well. But no, it was
just Reese.
You guys
went to school together, didn't you?
We did, but not at 13. Let me keep with my
story.
Sorry,
here I am butting in and ruining it.
Oh, is that the butt in jar? Hang on. Okay, so.
That's right, we did say that.
Thank you. I do actually have a screw here as well, so if I'm throwing the screw, it might sound a bit different, but that's all right. It's not a coin, it's a screw. That would
know.
Be probably from Dave. I don't know what it's for. But nonetheless.
He'll know.
Chloe's
like, Chloe's move
asleep.
On.
Okay, but I've lost my train of thought. So.
School, you went to church.
Went to
13.
Church. Church was fun because there were a whole bunch of young people who liked to hang out with us, and so it was good. Church kind of took on a whole new meaning when I turned about 15. That's because a new guy came along to church, and that was my soon-to-be boyfriend. And
I think they call them a muse, don't they?
A muse.
He was your muse.
I've never heard that before.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Really.
While you're doing it, I'll look in the dictionary because I'm curious now.
No, please don't.
But going on.
It was soon after that, my parents obviously my mum didn't want me to have a boyfriend. I was far too young, and looking back, I certainly was. But
Maybe.
I certainly couldn't make intelligent and educated decisions at that point in my life, that's for sure. And anyway, it wasn't too long into our so-called relationship, it was like some secret relationship, that we began making some stupid and really, really stupid decisions, particularly around having sex outside of, obviously, marriage. And it was when I turned 18, just after I turned 18, that I did that pregnancy test that I'll never forget and found out that I was indeed pregnant. And then, you know, everything started to hit home for me. I was 3 months out of finishing VCE. So, of course, I had morning sickness and was throwing up all over my exam papers. Not really, but pretty much. I couldn't do a whole lot of study. I felt pretty crook.
That was what you told the teachers, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wish I had have. I might have got a better mark, but no, the mark certainly reflected on those vomiting on pages, exam papers. So, and it was 5 weeks after that my boyfriend and I got married and threw in a wedding. It was a great wedding. It really was. But it was very rushed. And I don't really know how. I still had morning sickness while we got married.
The food was really good, though, because they were in little, anyway.
Little containers. You know those little things, those little boxes with the little handles on them? They were great.
Cool, yeah.
Quick chuck a coin in because I'm going to interrupt.
Oh, really?
Muse.
Go on, then.
To be absorbed in thought.
So Reese was way off the mark.
No, but he obviously absorbed her thought.
Well, hang on, pregnant pause.
But here's
another one,
right?
Pregnant.
Muse, Greek myth, one of nine.
Colin just asked if I was pregnant, just because I said pregnant pause.
No, my wife is the one who's pregnant.
Really?
Greek myth, one of nine goddesses, each of whom inspired an art of science.
Reese,
otherwise,
please.
Also, ponder quite.
Hang on. Back to me.
You're going to overuse that.
I am. I'm running out of coins. If you could send in some coins, ladies and gentlemen, it would be most appreciated. So we threw in a wedding 5 weeks after I finished school. And 5 months after that, I gave birth to my son, Noah. Noah's now four. And I now have a son, Elijah, as well. He's now almost two. So my life kind of hit this whirlwind period between my 18th birthday and my 19th birthday. It was like 7 years in one, I reckon. And it really kind of shook me up a whole lot. I we knew that we'd stuffed up. We knew we were doing everything wrong. That's my boyfriend and I. Because we knew we were sleeping with each other when we shouldn't have been. And we kind of beat ourselves up about it a whole lot. We were sneaking around.
Your conscience plays you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we knew our church was really good at making us feel bad for doing wrong things. So we
may
knew...
go into that a bit more in detail later on.
Oh, sure. We can
I was
do
involved
that.
In that church and it did work. Hence, I left the church.
Well, so did I, but that was because I was doing wrong.
You know what's funny?
I left too.
We're all back at that church. How's that? We're all back at that church.
We all left because it was so bad, and now we're all back again.
The key word is conscience, and we'll deal with that a bit later.
But we all left at the same time too. One after the other.
It's true.
And
we all came back in the reverse order. I was last to come back, and I was the first to leave. So, anyway, these exciting things that
I
we realised on
air. I never observed it that closely. I'm just like, everyone's gone. Now we're back.
Yeah. Well, there
actually,
was a
no, not really. There's
it.
Some not there. Casey.
Oh, right.
Just technicalities.
So.
Let's move on. Sorry.
We'll move quick here. That was the screw. Now, what am I talking about? Coin quick.
All right, so you talked about the fact that you got married.
Okay.
5 months later, you had your son, and then a couple of years later,
we're up to the important part. God finally was able to talk to me, and it was only because all this noise of my life from 16, sneaking around, doing all this, I was so absorbed in what I wanted to do in me. And it was only then that God could finally kind of hit me on the head and go, hey, look at the mess that you've made. And look at all the people that you've trampled along the way. You know, do you reckon that you might hand the job over to me yet? And it was only at that point that I kind of sat back and went, man, I'm nuts. You know, all this stuff that I've done is so bad. I've stuffed up so many people's lives. I mean, even I'll bring Chloe into it now. Even my friend Chloe, I mean, she would cover for me at every opportunity. She, you know, would... I'd say I went to her place or hung out with her for the day and I'd go and sneak off with my boyfriend. So, you know, even she was kind of influenced by and impacted by what decisions I made. And so I kind of stuffed up all these people's lives. And it was only then that God kind of showed me a few things and I wasn't going to pull out scripture, but, you know, I won't. But anyway, it was at that point that God showed me that, hey, you can't actually... do this and make it work. I gave you life and I'm the one who's in charge of it. And so, hey.
I was going to say, I remember that, through that period, I was pretty close friends with the guy and with you. And I remember it was actually quite sad when it all sort of split up. Mm. And one thing, and I remember telling Shannon, my wife, when you guys started coming back to church and we started sort of talking again and getting to know each other and what happened the last however many years, that was one of those really good moments, sort of when you're getting to become friends again with people that you sort of lost friendship with.
Mm.
And so God can turn a situation around.
Absolutely.
Once you finally submit to his will.
I just wish it hadn't taken me so long. Oh, I mean, look, it's
touché.
Great. I've got Noah, which is wonderful, and I mean, I wouldn't change Noah for the world. But yes, it did take a whole lot of time for me to kind of get to the end of me and doing it my way. And I will just pull out a scripture, which was Romans 7 and verse 24. It says, "Wretched man that I am, or woman in my case, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And that was kind of how I felt. It was like, you know, I've just stuffed up everything. Body of death was a great description for me. I felt like a walking zombie. I felt like a body of death. And the answer to me kind of came just a few verses down, which was in Romans 8, and reading from verse 1, which says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." And so my body of death could be freed if I was to put my trust in Christ. And that was the only way that my life found meaning and the only way that my life worked and that I wasn't actually failing at every point in my life when I could say, hey, I've tried it my way and I suck really bad at it. So here you go. You can take over and you can control my life because I can't.
So you put your faith in God.
Absolutely. I believed in him.
Yeah.
I put my faith in him and I trusted him. Yeah.
I like how you included all of those
all words those
that
three.
We're going to talk about later on.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't stuff up what we're going to talk about.
Oh, I hope not. Maybe we could just end the show here.
So you got saved through all of that. God had to show you what you really were like so that you'd finally submit to God and say, okay, you take over.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
And so what actually brought you to the making tracks side of things?
Making tracks came about, it was, Noah was about 6 months old when I got involved in, it was a secular program called Talking Realities, and that's a young parenting program that goes into secular schools and talks about being a young parent, and that was great. We did a training program for that, and we got out into schools, and I went, man, I love this. I love talking to kids, and I'm a young person, right? So I had a whole lot of relatability factor that I could
talk. How old are you now?
I'm 23 now.
So you're only 23.
I'm only 23. I was 18 when I had Noah, as I said. So, you know, I was this 20-year-old going into schools and talking to these kids and saying, well, you know what, I was you just a few years ago, and this is what happened to my life. That I guess the disappointing thing possibly with talking realities, which I couldn't gel with and I didn't like, was that it was just saying, you know, life as a mum is really quite hard, and so don't do it.
Hmm.
And I couldn't get my head around that because I was saying, don't do it, but I loved it. I loved being a mum, and it was great. And so, I'd grew up in a Christian school. I went to a Christian school, and I had realized that just because I went to a Christian school or even went to a church, it just did not make me a Christian. And obviously, I did a whole lot of things that were not in tune with being a Christian. And so, there were a lot of kids in Christian schools. In my school, a lot of my friends weren't Christians either, even though they may have thought they were or said they were. They certainly weren't acting like Christians. There was no fruit in their life. And it made me think, you know, these kids in Christian schools now are no different to me. And there is such a need for a program that would say, hey, this is what happened to me and I survived, but here's some stuff that you just might want to know, because you might think you can do it now, but you can't. Or you might think that you can, you might think that you're just going to live for God, you're going to be this great Christian, but you know what, you might come across a situation, whether it be with addictions or with sexual health issues, that will mean that you're not going to live as a Christian as you thought you might. And so that's what kind of brought me around to writing the program last year and presenting the program this year.
So through all of this, you've come to the point where now you basically, you feel like, you could even call it a ministry, is towards the young kids, doesn't matter whether they're a guy or a girl, who are getting to that age where they want to and they are testing and
boundaries.
Experiencing boundaries and sexuality. And not just to say, don't get pregnant or whatever, but actually talking about the consequences and the, especially from a Christian point of view, the spiritual consequences as well. As,
absolutely.
And so it is, yes, don't have sex outside of marriage because it's against the Bible, but here's a whole bunch of other reasons as well as just the Bible. All right, we'll go into some actual, talking more about the actual Making Tracks program and what you would normally do at a school. But before that, we're going to play a song. And this song is, Chloe, you know, it's another CD you gave to me. Belfast?
Yeah.
Revival in Belfast?
Yeah, Rob and Mark.
And what's the track called?
Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed Be Your Name.
It was the shortest one on that CD.
Cool. Now, stay tuned, because later on we have a song dedicated to David. Isn't that right, Emily?
That's right. That would be my husband. This is a boyfriend that we've been talking about.
Oh, no, we let his name slip.
Yeah, David.
Okay, am I on? Okay, we had a bit of problem with the CD, so we're back.
David's dedication.
And we're changing the songs.
The Impact Program. Now we're going to go into a little bit more about making tracks. First question, I don't know if this is necessarily so much a question, but more of a comment. I remember you interviewing me for it, which is sort of funny because I had all my motorbikes.
It was hilarious.
On,
and it was so funny.
Being in front of a camera is a weird thing. Yeah. You'd think it would be all right considering I'm on the radio. But I think that's why I'm on the radio,
yeah.
Not in front of a camera, because it's laughable.
Trust me, radio is still very much laughable.
Just like, I think that
sort of just shattered my...
Anyway.
Yes, and I must apologise for what happened off, like, just before. Our song skipped, so as a result, we...
We jumped to the love song.
The love dedication that, song.
Except that everyone
Dave.
Had gone to the bathroom.
No, that was the problem.
We did a toilet break.
Played the song, like, sweet, we've got 3 minutes, I'm off to the toilet. And then as soon as I'm at the toilet, it skips. I'm like, ah!
Can we throw in money for... Can we throw in money for toilet talk? We were talking about butting in. I'm going to throw it in.
All right. Now, making tracks. You take this to schools.
I do.
And talk to young people.
Mm.
Sort of give us a little bit of a rundown as to what they are going to hear about and what lessons they're going to learn when you're there.
Okay, well, you did actually start to ask me another question.
I was talking about the interview.
You're talking about the interview. That's all right. So what is a student at a Christian school going to hear?
As you write that
when
down.
I'm just writing down the question. Can you tell?
Right.
What do...
While you write that down, I do remember the interview. You were asking me about sexual health. That was one question, and I kept getting confused between sexual health and...
Motorbikes.
Oh, no. What was the first area of questioning?
Addictions.
Addictions. And
motorbikes.
I just kept getting confused. My addictions were, motorbikes. and that was sort of, I guess, what the questioning was along. Addictions, was that more sexual side of addictions?
Look,
addicted to pornography or something?
Look, we cover quite a few things in the addictions topic. Firstly, we cover a general topic, which is decision-making. It's just a really quite a short topic covering making positive and not-so-positive choices or positive and negative choices in our lives. And they're quite often things around addictions and sexual health. So we often get people say, well, smoking's not a very, very good thing to do because, well, you can smell. Actually, I think that came from Chris. So that, here's to you, Chris.
We won't
play you a love song, but...
Rot.
That was really deep thinking.
Yeah, it was.
Chris is a deep thinker.
That's our Chris. And so we get quite a few sort of ideas around that, decision-making and making positive choices. And then we move into addictions, as Reece said. Addictions is quite a broad array of addictions. I cover three main... I've kind of grouped them into... let me think. What have I grouped them into? There's chemical dependence, so obviously things like tobacco, drugs, that sort of thing. Then I've got a category for pornography all on its own. And so we do pornography. Then the third topic is behavioural... problems or something. Hang on, I paused. Behavioural something. Habitual behaviours, that's the one. And so that covers things like OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and eating disorders, things like that. So addictions covers quite an array of different things. We talk about how addictions form a cycle in your life. So you cannot... I don't know. Anyway, a cycle. There's a cycle of addiction, and every time you turn to your drug to find freedom from your problem, whatever it be, whether it be lust,
sinking deeper.
It brings you into this deep hole, and you can't get out of it.
I remember a bit of an explanation of you're like swimming, like a pig swimming in feces and mud and stuff.
Is that toilet talk, Reece?
I don't know, but. You can't get out, but if you do get out, you want to go straight back in. You know, long
feces and mud. I don't know if I would.
Pig.
I've heard that.
You know, pig.
Pig, really?
But that's the thing.
That's far too left field for my
thinking. Guess you could imagine that in your brain you're looking at cakes, but really you're jumping back into feces and mud. Anyway, that's a stupid analogy. Move on.
It is a really stupid, I think.
No. That's a really good analogy.
Thanks, Chloe, for redeeming it.
Well, actually, I was just going to say you just didn't say it very well.
Well, it's true.
Well, that's right. Thanks, Chloe, for supporting me.
Okay. And so, cycle of addiction. We talk about how people who have addiction issues often have emotional pain and they struggle to deal with their emotional pain in the correct ways. The only way to free yourself from the bondage of addiction is to turn to God and to have a relationship with God. He's the only one who can set us free when we depend on Christ. He's the only one who can set us free from our addictions. We also have a DVD, which Reece briefly mentioned. I nearly called you Chris then. bad. I've got your name written right here.
I'm not even a New Zealander.
No, I know. You don't
do you
look
really
like
have
Chris
my name
at all. No, I don't at all. I was just
you trying
referring
to me?
What you... Yeah, I was.
I actually have your name there, and I'm still stuffed up.
Well, I don't, but I've known you for a very long time. So, addictions. Yes, so we then have a DVD, and the DVD interviews a few people. I think there might be about six or eight on there, and just asking them questions about how their addiction affected their walk with God, how their addiction may have brought them to God, and there's a few others on there. In fact, the DVD is on the website. If you would like to jump on the website, you certainly can.
Which is Peer Education.
Peer Education. P-E-E-R, as in peer.
Yeah, people
education,
like me have to
know
that.
Yeah, education as in the sort that you go to school and learn, education.com.au.
So it's actually about equipping kids so that whatever, if they choose to have sex outside of marriage, whatever, they're not naively making those decisions.
That's right. We can say, I told you so. And no, we can't. We don't. We
and
don't
take
do
the
that.
High moral ground.
Yeah.
Even though we've also done that mistake ourselves.
Well, the thing is, I can't exactly say I told you so because of my testimony. I can say, well, I told you so because I've been there.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. I'm not just rubbing it in their faces. I certainly wouldn't do that. But we then, after we've seen the DVD, we then move on to sexual health. The sexual health part of the program sort of covers two sides. We talk about STIs, we talk about things like condoms in terms of, well, they don't always work and you can't rely on something like a condom to work all the time. So we cover STIs, we cover pregnancy, you know, okay, so I survived. It's not maybe the worst thing in the world, but could you think of a better time to be getting pregnant and having a family?
Especially if you're married.
Yes, that would be the thing that I'm referring to as a better time.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting to have kids young or anything like that. I'm an example. You're an example of people who have been married young and had kids young. I am 24 and my next
had to think about
baby...
It.
I did, and I only just turned 24. My next baby is due in less than a month.
And the second, that is.
The second. So there's nothing wrong with being young and having kids, and it's certainly doable, and it's certainly a great thing. But it's about thinking before you act.
Mm, that's right. That's right. And it's all around, again, making those positive choices. What's going to be the best outcome for my life? How am I going to serve God best? And aiming towards those things. It's looking at your life in 10 years and saying, well, where do I want to be? And that's not necessarily having a baby at 18 and stuffing up your education.
Well, thanks for coming on.
No worries
at
all.
I hope it all goes well because you're actually going tomorrow to a school.
Tomorrow I'm going to be leaving my place at 7:45. So
early.
It is so early. I've got to get two kids ready and out of the door.
So what time are you getting up?
Oh, I might get up with Dave at 5, I think.
Okay. Yep, you beat me.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
yes.
Truly.
Can I? Yeah, that's just because it was good.
Just a victory coin?
Yeah, victory right. coin. It was a two.
We must apologise. We aren't, I don't know, unless we can do it in about 3 minutes, we're not going to be able to cover faith, trust and belief.
Chloe is not going to fall on her face.
No, we'll save that.
We could always do it, but Emily won't be here next time.
No.
Well, I could. Hey, we could make it regular.
Well, we will cover it again. Because I've just done the study for it, and so it'd be, you know,
he slaved away all afternoon.
Yeah, if I couldn't take up your listening time. Mm. So we will talk about that next time. I apologise if that's the only reason you were listening to us. Oh, you've enjoyed a good interview.
a so-so interview, but nonetheless.
No, I enjoyed it. And I think giving a testimony and being frank about things helps people to realise that, okay, there's normal people in the world who stuff up. And, like, you know, I was addicted to pornography and I stuffed up in my sexuality and I am now saved and serving God. I'm married with two kids. Just because you make mistakes doesn't mean you have to stuff up the rest of your life.
That's right.
But the consequences can be lifelong.
Mm.
So you need to think about it before you act. But God can still use those situations to glorify Him.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's the key to anything in life, really, is glorify God in it.
Mm.
Now, we're going to leave. We haven't even had really any time with for a gospel message. Although, actually, it does
Hang on.
Thank you. It does give us a good launching pad for a gospel message because you mentioned unable to get out of addictions. You even mentioned in your testimony it was your conscience that brought you back to God.
Well, you mentioned that, I think.
I mentioned, yeah, because I thought I'd use it later on.
Good. Well, you did.
But that's exactly the same thing that brought me to God, and I'm sure it's the same thing that brought Chloe to God, was the fact that when we sin against God, our conscience plagues us. Mm. Now, we can harden our conscience and we can resist that, but we do know that we're doing the wrong thing. And us three, because we were in the church, we knew we were doing the wrong thing against God. And that's the key to understanding the Bible, is we're sinning against God. Well, I did.
Chloe, it's too late to put an argument in now.
Oh,
we've got we're counting down.
Did you not know you were sinning against God?
I was really self-righteous. I really thought I was really good. I was trying to be good, though I knew that, you know, I didn't make it. But I was. I look back and I had very self-righteous. That's why.
True. So is that? Did God have to sort of do a similar thing to Emily, break you down, bring you to a point of actually seeing the fact that you're not that great? Sort of a thing?
Very, very humbling experience. And I think before you're a Christian and you have that, if you don't turn to Christ... Oh, I lost my head.
I can't hear myself.
If, it's a humbling experience, but even becoming a Christian and ongoing, it's still an ongoing process. And but, you know, if you have the right thing where you turn your eyes onto Jesus, then it's a good thing. It's a good... Yeah.
That idea of
but
turning...
If you don't, you get overwhelmed about...
Yeah. Repentance is what we call it in Scripture, where we turn away from the direction of sin and we turn towards God, which is putting our faith in God, relying on the fact that God will save us. But we still have the responsibility to actually turn towards God. And God gives us the ability to do that. We have a mind to think with. We have a mind to rationalize with. And God says, this is sin, and this is what you must do. Now, what's the obvious? Repent and put your faith in God. I'm sorry we don't have any more time to be talking about repentance and faith because I could talk about it for an hour.
If you do have the internet and you're listening live, go to whatsthegospel.com. Could be .com.au, but I don't know. But try both.
And go to peer education while you're there.
.com.au. ncgc.org.au.
Let's throw in some websites, shall we?
While we're going to websites and supporting people, here's a website I would like you to visit as well as peer education is ministryofpsalms.com. Now, this is a guy called Jason Coghill, and he is a Christian artist, and he plays music such as this in the background right now, and he lives in Geelong.
Live.
He's Aussie. It's great stuff, and it's Psalms, and it's like, now I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think it's better than Sons of Korah.
Whoa, backlash is coming.
I thought you were going to say Keith Green, and I would have just...
In fact, he is one of the founding members of Sons of Korah. Wow, I like that reaction.
Yeah.
So this is Jason Coghill. I'll play you a little bit of a teaser for it. And go out, look for his stuff, download it from ministryofpsalms.com.
It's been an all-Australian session tonight. Australian making tracks, Australian ministry of...
Had American music.
Yeah. Sound. Okay, well, we failed.
All right, we got to go. This has been the Impact Program. Thank
you
for listening.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming on, Emily.
Remember my name.
I'll say Chloe just then. Thanks also, Chloe. Goodbye. Good night.
Good night. Farewell, Australia.